Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
All right,
very good, very good. For today's edition of Word Made Flesh, it was determined before we went on the air that we would look at the topic of temptation. And the scripture that we selected to initiate the conversation on temptation comes from Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. So could I have someone read that for us, please?
No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and to God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, you also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, let's just start by opening it up for your initial responses.
I would say temptation, it's important to understand temptation does not come from God. It says in James, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Temptation comes from the devil. God actually gives the devil permission to tempt you. That's what I believe.
Okay, what else?
Well, that when he read about a way to escape a temptation, it doesn't mean to get out. It means the power to bear it, to endure it. And if you stand fast, you'll come out of it.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think you know, it's great with the scriptures, but to put in real life. Your real life, your transformation. I think we are tempted every day, all day long. And I think, you know, it really hit home when we were speaking earlier about, you know, you just have to go through the storm. And God is there to help you. We have to remember that. We have to, in our heart, in our mind, because, you know, I know through me, I struggle every day, and I know I'm tempted by the outside world. If it's not money, it's materialistic stuff, if it's not, you know, I mean, you know, it's just, and to have my focus on God, to know that He is there no matter what, no matter what, you know. But we as humans, I think, we're taught that we can shy away from that. We can feed into the worldly temptation. So easy, go back to the old way.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I think it also talks that temptation is universal, and it's not like a special temptation just for you. And it's every bit that temptation that I deal with, you know, we all deal with. And God is also saying it's doable. Yeah, it's tough, but you can. It can be dealt with too, so there's also a lot of hope in that verse, because it said, you know, it's for everybody. Everybody goes through it, and everybody has access to fight it through me, through God.
Good. And it doesn't have to be alone. Like to add to that, right. Like that, meaning that everybody is being tempted at times. There is distractions out there, but you don't have to. You have to do it alone. You don't have to go through it alone to go through that. You know, like it's like God puts people in our lives. Like He puts our community in our life. I think like Neighbors of Hope. This is His ministry. And being His ministry,
amen.
He put the people here to help those that are being tempted out through the world. He's putting each other, all of us in here. Even if we're going through that, He puts there to be for the person next to you in some way or form. There's not no exact way for that escaping from that temptation. And you know, one person is supposed to solve all that. It's not, you know, but we he put us here to do it through him. So.
Good, good. Anything else? Any initial responses?
Well, I mean, I just wanted to add another verse, a 2 Peter 2:9, where it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation." So if that kind of...
Thank God.
He's had a lot
Lord
of practice.
Knows we're not very good at it.
Sometimes
things, God has had a lot of practice.
Well, sometimes things happen, okay, and people are like, "Where's God?" or some kind of variation of that. But I'm saying the Bible clearly says the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So I guess that means you should continue in prayer and not lose faith. That's what that means, not lose faith.
And how would you do that?
Continue to pray and continue to put your thoughts on God. And just continue to maybe say to yourself, it's in God's hands. No matter what's going on, continue to read your Bible, continue to pray. Actually, I guess read your Bible doesn't have anything to do with it, but continue to pray and keep your relationship with God. Don't let
temptation is almost like a journey of self, in my opinion. Where you're like, you take it head on and know it, like God's there for you. God's, you know, gonna be there when you have exiled your own temptation.
But that's hard to do in the moment when a problem arises, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
No, like a self journey. Like you gotta work through it, kind of. In my opinion.
Yeah, we can't be let into believe that we're gonna be accepting of what God's trying to bring into us, what he's there to help us out of that. And he's throwing us that safety ring. You know, who's really throwing that? You gotta reach out for it, you gotta catch it. It's coming from, because it's not just this miraculous, it's not just this thing that okay, I'm gonna pray that God's gonna be there for me and I'm not gonna do anything. I'm just gonna sit there and he's gonna rescue me. Rather than like you have to do some of that work. You have to
You hear like that analogy, like the light at the end of the tunnel, there is that end, but like how are you gonna get there? You know?
Yeah, particularly if you can't see it yet.
Yeah.
It's a long tunnel and it's just dark.
Yeah, you don't know.
So a couple things. You know, I like what you had to say there, Richard, in the sense that we have to appreciate there's a difference between being tested, going through tribulations, trials, and then temptation. Probably the oldest book in the Bible, a nice book of wisdom, is the story of Job. All right, and we're all familiar with that. And Job starts out as a man who's upright and full of integrity. Now we know that gets restored to him. But when we start thinking that, you know, testings, trials, tribulations, and even temptations are really opportunities to measure the integrity of our faith.
That's a good point.
Do we, in the midst of all those, remember who has called us? Do we lean and fully depend upon that truth? So if I'm in the tunnel and I can't see the light at the end of it, and it's just pure dark, do I trust the one who holds the future and keep plugging forward, stumbling, falling down, bouncing off the walls, can't see, you know, now I'm embellishing the whole tunnel thing. I just had this visual, right? Rats crawling around, you know, in the water and all that, right? I mean, whatever it is, as horrible as it is, right? And that's kind of it. Right, Paul does say elsewhere that, you know, part of the ways out, you know, that God provides is with other people. Right? I would also like to tie this in when we think of temptation to Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, which is the temptations of Jesus. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Right? If you are the Son of God, you know, cast yourself off the temple pinnacle, right? And the angels, all those things. The temptation is not turning stone into bread. The temptation is not being caught by angels when we throw ourselves off the Empire State Building. The temptation is not to have the power to rule the world. That's not the temptation in those. There's one and only one temptation there. If you are the Son of God, temptation is always about, right, you forgetting, you removing your allegiance to the truth that you are a beloved child of God. The temptation is always about to you to abandon your deepest and truest identity. So when we come across our testings, when we come across our trials, when we come across our tribulations, when we come across our temptations, the challenge is, are we going to be so consumed and obsessed with that that we forget our identity? So the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness on all of those, he says, look, I know who I am. I don't need to turn stones into bread. I know who I am. I don't need to be caught by angels off the Empire State Building. I know who I am. I don't need to have power over the whole world. I don't need to worship you. I know who I am. And then what happens? The adversary flees. So oftentimes what we interpret as being burdensome, a temptation, is really the opportunity, like Job, to measure the integrity of our faith. Do you remember who you truly are? What are your thoughts on that? Any feedback on that?
Well, again, like I said, I think it's hard to do that in a moment of a tribulation.
In a moment, sure.
You know.
Right? I'm sure in the moment, particularly if we look at Jesus' temptation, right? He'd been out there a while.
Yeah.
I'm sure his belly was grumbling. Yeah. Yeah. That stone probably looked very delicious. You know? Right? Right? Isn't that the spiritual discipline? Isn't that the challenge before us?
Yeah.
That even physiological triggers or whatever.
Yeah, I think it has to do with what your faith is. It has to do what your faith is before that tribulation comes, whether you're going to fall or not, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's where we can all probably agree that prior to our encounter, yeah, you know, of God's expression of love toward us, in and through Christ Jesus, right? We weren't aware of that. We tended to follow some of those temptations. Particularly as we weighed out that with our reason, if they were beneficial to me personally.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what? We're still going to struggle with those confrontations that, yeah, that might be beneficial for me personally, but in the long run, am I willing to, right, contradict my own values or my truest identity? And this is it. Life and death, blessings and curses. Right? Am I not beloved? Do I believe I'm beloved? I got to cling to that. I have to cling to that. And here's the beauty of grace. Maybe one time, two times, 26 times, 53, 182, I don't know. I conceded to the temptation. And God says, well, let me get you back up, and I still love you. Sure, Paul admonishes us, just because that kind of grace abounds, let us not think that we can go out doing that all the time.
Right.
Right? We shouldn't. But if we, that also frees us from trying to say that what I do day in and day out, that I have to do with perfection, flawlessness, that somehow should I fail, I'll lose that. Or else we'll just be paralyzed by the fear. Right? Rather than being free, in a sense, free to fail. Right? Freedom from fear. Do you have something you wanted to add there?
I think something that you know, is really
you know, really important to me is that I've learned a new way. And I'm trying so hard to just cling on to that new way, and knowing that I'm the beloved, and knowing that listening to that voice. But as we're studying in Prodigal Son, we hear other voices. Well, am I good enough? You know, do I, you know what I'm saying? I mean, mm-hmm. It's just,
yeah.
You know, clinging to that strength we have in God, and trying to live that every day. It's not easy. You know, it's hard for me, but as long as I cling to that and find a way to stay focused, that's the battle. That's the strong. That's the strength. You know what I mean?
That's a good word to conclude this edition of Word Made Flesh on. So, gentlemen, I thank you very much for your contributions to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a neighbor of hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.